For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. A misconception among Christianity is the idea that after one places their trust in Christ, life becomes smooth sailing. Anyone who has been a Christian for a while will certainly testify this is not the case. Jesus Christ never promised an easy life on earth for those who believe in Him. To the contrary, He taught us to expect persecution. He warned us that we would be a minority. And as Pastor Holland addresses in today's message, Christ describes the Christian life as one in which the believer denies himself and takes up a cross to follow Him. Listen now as we continue in Luke chapter 9 and the second part of this sermon, The Christian Life.
When I don't follow Him because of His leadership, and by the way, He's the greatest leader I've ever had, but follow Him because of His love for us and our love for Him. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:4, he said, "For the love of Christ constraineth me." You know what he's saying? He said, you know what makes me do what I do? You know what makes me follow Him? You know what makes me serve Him? You know what makes me want to do His will and not get away from the things that I know? You know what does that? It's the love of Christ that I have for Him. I tell you today, honestly, the love of Christ ought to be evidence in all of our lives as we serve Him. I've often thought about the text. Thought about Paul as he said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." It wasn't money. It wasn't popularity. It wasn't being elected to the council. But it was the love of Christ that made him get up and do what he did. But following Him will alter your course. Have to make some changes in your plans. Have to make you rearrange things a little bit. Look at it from a different perspective. And decide whether you want to follow Him. Not only following Christ altered the course of our life, but second of all, it means to abandon the control of our life. Notice, if you would, in verse 23 again, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Now notice the words, "let him deny himself." That's utterly crazy in the culture we live. It's not denying ourselves anymore. We live in a day when it's all about self. And again, you don't get all upset about me, mad. I know we've got social media that is not always bad. But basically today, much of that is nothing but promotion of ourselves and talking about ourselves and what we do and everything about us. Friend, I tell you today, if you want to get on Facebook, why don't you get on there every day and talk about Jesus and talk about what He did at church on Sunday and talk about somebody getting saved and tell people to bless the Lord. And I'm not saying that some people don't do that. And I'm not saying it's wrong for you to get on there and share with your family things. I'm just simply saying today, it's not about us. The fact is, it's about abandoning the control of our life to Him and denying ourselves of what we do. He didn't die for us for self-esteem. He died for us for our salvation. And the purpose of that was not for self-esteem, but it was in order that we might be holy in the sight of God and in the sight of people. For He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." With that in mind, we must understand the meaning of the words deny himself. Realize that Jesus called us to deal with ourselves in a difficult and decisive way. Consider, first of all, what it means to abandon control of your life. It's the close of the self life. Deny himself means more than just telling yourself no or depriving yourself of something you want. The Greek scholar, and many of you have heard Spiros Zodiotis, says the phrase means to disown, to denounce yourself. The idea of letting go of your rights over his life. Now again, not trying to be political this morning or get in anything, but I tell you, isn't it an amazing day what everybody's concerned about? Their rights. What about our rights? I tell you, we don't have any rights. Our right is the fact that God had mercy on us and saved us. And I tell you, the right of every Christian today and every American today is to be thankful that we live in a free country. But everybody today is demanding, "I want my rights. I want my rights." I tell you today, people need to understand that we want God's rights. And we need to deny ourselves and follow Him. By the way, I learned a long time ago, I forfeited all my rights when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I tell you today, I'm glad for my salvation. I want to follow Him. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to alter my course to follow Him. But I also want to abandon the control of my life. The total odds of that mindset of our culture says, it's your life to live. You should be living the high life. Have it your way. Well, I'm going to tell you, go ahead. But I tell you, one day when you're down and out and you're defeated, and I tell you, you've experienced all kind of heartache in your life time and time and time again, just remember, if you would have followed God, if you would obey Him, if you would love Him, if you would give Him control of your life, it'd make a difference in what you do. A lot of people, they want to be served and blessed, and their egos have to be coddled and caressed. They are Christian consumers. They're talking about much and they're giving little. They're satisfying themselves and serving their own needs and their wants. And that's called selfishness in their life. Yet the Christian life is not about consuming. The Christian life is about consecration. It's about following Jesus, denouncing our self-life and disowning the way we go. You can't have it your way and go His way. You know, I find people, here's the mentality of a lot of people today. Well, you know, preacher, don't God forgive sin? Yeah. Well, then I can do what I want to, and I know He'll forgive me. Let me tell you something. I'd be sure to check on my salvation if that's your attitude today. And I'm not saying you're not saved. But I'm going to tell you something. If you love Jesus and you follow Him, you'll not be wanting to sin so He can forgive you. You'll be wanting to live a life that'd be pleasing to Him in order that you might follow Him and be obedient to Him. I've heard this time and time again. The longer I serve in the ministry, I hear people say, well, it's all right. If I make a mistake or if I do something wrong, God will forgive me. Yeah, He will. He will, but the consequences. Ask David over in the book of Old Testament. I'll not get there today, but I want you to know we're not to be part-time, half-hearted followers. We're to be full-time. If you'll come after Him, deny yourself, you'll get rid of self-life. Moreover, deny yourself means the call to the slave life. If a person renounces their selves and gives up their rights over their own life, what do they become? Who then has the rights over them? Well, I think the word's found in Christ. You know what we are? The Bible said we're to be servants. The Apostle Paul opened Romans, Philippians, and Titus, calling himself a servant of Jesus Christ. James called himself a servant. 2 Peter opens with the title of servant. Jude also chose to identify himself as a servant. And John opened the book of Revelation, which he said was given to God's servants. The word servant in our Bibles, however, is somewhat misleading. We think of a servant as somebody that's hired to work. The word translated servant, however, is a word which means a bond slave. A bond slave is a person who has chosen to live as a slave for someone else. Did you hear me? Chosen to live as a slave to someone else, willingly surrendering their rights to the control of another. And I tell you today, there's a lot of people say, well, you can call me a servant if you want to. I don't mind. But a lot of people today aren't servants. They're not bond slaves and not willingly giving themselves to God. Why would someone ever choose to become a slave? They would only do so if they believe they'd be better off as a slave, right? Well, I guarantee you, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, to be a slave of Jesus Christ, you'll be better off than not to be and to be in anything else. Thirdly, to accept the cross in your life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, when Jesus said this, He was headed to the cross. He wanted us to know that if we were to come after Him, that there'd be a cross waiting for us as well. The only crosses many Christians want anything to do with these days is made of gold and worn around the neck. However, Jesus is not calling for cross wearers. He's calling for cross bearers. He said, if anyone will take up his cross and follow me. What does the Lord mean by this call to take up your cross? First of all, he describes it as a deadly practice. Everyone that originally heard Jesus and speak these words knew exactly what the cross was. The cross was where the Romans hung criminals to shame them and execute them publicly for their crimes. So if you took up your cross in that day, you were saying that you were going to die. The cross was an instrument of death. It's an instrument of your own death. And he's calling us to do that ourselves. Now, I know today Jesus is not asking us to lay down and die and quit breathing. But he's asking us to die to ourselves and understand. He said, if any man will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The importance of the Christian life. We must die to our ambitions. We must die to our needs. We must die to our desires and our wants. We need to die to everything except following the Lord Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was in prison and eventually died under the Nazi regime. He wrote a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. In it, Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When God calls a man, he bids him come and die. What a remarkable statement. And yet, about his death, is we find real life. For he said, look at verse 24 of our text, chapter 9. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Understand today, in calling us to the cross, Jesus is not trying to kill us as much as he's trying to save us. He knows that our only hope in life is to follow him in death. And then lastly, this is a daily process. Take up your cross daily. I've said it often, Paul said it, I die daily. Yet the follower of Christ understands that living without Jesus isn't really living. I believe today we ought to be willing to die daily than to daily live for ourselves. Understanding that all Jesus said in the verse, some of you may be thinking, I don't think I want to sign up for this. But I want you to know today, when I came to Jesus, he gave me eternal life. A daily death. The only cross I've ever heard about was his. Nobody says much about mine, but he said, take up my cross daily and follow me. Too often today, churches have preached a watered-down, cheapened gospel. In fact, today, people don't even like to use the word hell in the pulpit anymore. They don't want to warn people of their sin. They want to tell them how good they are so they'll leave and feel good about themselves and come back. Friend, I tell you today, I want you to come back. But I tell you more than that, I want you to know what the Bible has to say about our lives and serving him. Following Jesus means that we receive forgiveness and the grace of his death on the cross. He calls all of us who truly know him and believe upon him to come after him, to pursue him in his passion, in his devotion. He calls us to forget about ourselves, to crucify ourselves, for one reason only, for the sake of living for him. Though that may sound radical and extreme in this day, it's always been the normal for the child of God. In the Christian life is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and all my soul, and all my mind.
Denying yourself, taking up a cross. These do not sound like the things that would attract us to becoming Christians, yet that is the believer's calling. Do you have that peace? Have you experienced great assurance through a battle in your life? We would welcome the opportunity to introduce you to Jesus.
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening,
And join us again next week at this same time.